You'll find children's Christmas books, Reformation 500 gifts, devotional resources, and more in Concordia Publishing House's Christmas catalog. They'll send it to you for free. Call 1-800-325-3040 or view it online at issuesetc.org. Place an order for $79 or more, and CPH will send you three Christmas ornaments for free. Concordia Publishing House's Christmas catalog, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040. There are a few churches that you could probably go to, and they've found something else to do. Maybe they've replaced the sermon with drama, or more music, something like that. And admittedly, sermons have strayed from the traditional format of a man standing in a pulpit and talking for 20 minutes. Now it might be a guy sitting at a coffee table and talking for 45 minutes. And the talk is kind of rambling back and forth, stories about the kids or about his life or what God told him the other night, passes for preaching. It'll be part six of our weekly series on the liturgical boot camp for evangelicals. We're going to talk about the importance of preaching, not only for evangelicals, but for confessional Lutherans as well. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed? Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Why do both evangelicals and confessional Lutherans put a strong emphasis on preaching?
Well, Jesus says to preach. He, in fact, sends out his disciples to preach the word. And we see in the scriptures this great emphasis on the preaching of the word. So St. Paul will say, it pleased the Lord through the foolishness of the word preached to save those who would believe. Whenever Jesus is there ready to ascend into heaven, and he's given instructions for to his disciples in the establishing of the church, he says, go and preach to the whole creation, so that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be all throughout the world. And this was really rediscovered in the Reformation. In fact, some people have called the Reformation, Luther's Reformation, a reformation of preaching, which I think is maybe not complete, but it's a good place to start. It's a reformation that put the emphasis back on the scriptures. And insofar as the evangelical church of our day is still in some way an inheritor of the Reformation tradition of Luther, they have an emphasis then on the preaching and on the word. And for that, we should rejoice. Although what they expect in the preaching, what they think happens in the preaching, and their theology of preaching is all very different.
Okay, so let's start with the evangelical view of preaching. Essentially, you're saying they both value preaching, but for significantly different reasons. Let's talk about evangelical preaching. What is the sermon, in essence, in evangelicalism?
Well, it really depends on the kind of church that you're going to, but in most circumstances, for most evangelical churches, the sermon is a Bible study, or maybe it's a topical study. It's filled with illustrations and cute stories, oftentimes jokes. It's meant to be entertaining. It's very, very informal, very relaxed, and it's basically focused on the Christian and instructions for living the Christian life. So rather than being focused on Christ, it's focused on the Christian person. Rather than being focused on the promises of God, it's going to be focused on the instructions or the law of God. And rather than aiming at what biblical preaching aims at, the preaching of the evangelical church is most often aimed at the improved life of the Christian. And then at the end, it's aimed at the moment of dedication or the moment of decision.
I want to come back to some of those and kind of unpack them a little bit, if we could. First of all, there's nothing wrong with a topical or a Bible study, is there?
No. I mean, the Bible should be what we are preaching. That's the text that we open. And in fact, the preaching ought to be an opening of the scripture. What I think is really interesting, and I remember back in the evangelical days, the preachers would brag about how they teach the whole text, line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word, so that their preaching was basically an extended Bible study. They would go through the entire text of the Bible, and they would preach. Evangelical sermons are generally going to be longer than Lutheran sermons, So the sermon will be 45 minutes to an hour, maybe an hour plus, and they would brag about how they are just teaching the scriptures. When I started going to the Lutheran church, I realized that even though the sermons were so much shorter, they were in fact so much fuller. They had so much more scripture and so much more content, because so much of the evangelical preaching is, well, it's filler, it's fluff, it's stories, it's illustrations, it's jokes, it's you know, getting to the point, wandering from the point. We played a game on Table Talk one time called Biggest Loser, where we took some 45-minute or hour-long sermons from some megachurch pastors, and we cut out all of the fluff, all the silly stories, all of the illustrations that were off of the point, all the joking around and everything, to see how much was actually left. And the sermons would generally go from about 45 to 50 minutes down to about 3 minutes, because they have so many things there. So you're right. We should be teaching the scriptures. But oftentimes what happens in the churches that brag about that they are teaching the scriptures, they're in fact not even doing that. They're just entertaining and really filling time.
So I see a corollary in a lot of evangelical writing. If you look at popular books that are published and targeted at evangelicals, written by big names and things like that, you go through them chapter by chapter. They may be organized in kind of a topical fashion, but by and large, it's stories about people just like us. If you read something that, you know, Rick Warren has written, his chapters are going to be largely stories and illustrations. And I agree. I once remarked, just as you observed there, if you took all the stories out of a lot of these books, they turn into pamphlets in terms of their content. What's the goal of that? Is it to be relatable? Is it really to illustrate? What is the goal of all the storytelling?
Well, there's a usefulness in telling stories, I suppose. I mean, Jesus, you know, tells parables. But at some point, you look at the evangelical preaching and you say, well, you got to actually get to the point. So I don't know how this goes. I'd be interested to go to a preaching class at an evangelical seminary and see how they teach guys to put together their sermons. And I would suspect it's something like this. You come up with something that you want to say. Maybe you hear some major megachurch pastor say something that you'd like to also say, something edgy, something relatable, something about being authentic. You come up with a pithy sort of thing, and then you go and you look for Bible passages and stories that are somehow related to those things, and then you kind of piece them together. I mean, it seems like that's how most of the sermons come about. I mean, it starts with some idea that you've got, and then you're gathering around stories and illustrations to unfold that sort of idea. It ought to be that the biblical preacher begins with the biblical text and says, how does this text show me my sin? And how does this text give me the promises of God? And what is this text? I mean, even more essentially, what is this text teaching? And then you're figuring out how to bring that text and the teaching of the text to the Lord's people. And if you need an illustration to help flush out a particularly difficult spot, then you bring that illustration. Or if you need a story to help get to the point of this particular text, then you bring the story. But the stories and the illustrations are there serving the text and the meaning of what the Lord is teaching.
So what you're saying there, Brian, is it's not just getting things backwards. It's really an entirely different approach to where the Bible fits within preaching for evangelicals. So the pastor might, on Friday afternoon, decide to start working on a sermon, and he's already painted himself into a corner in a certain respect, because he's probably doing a sermon series where the topics have been pre-chosen. Then he doesn't begin with a text. He has to begin with his idea and then find text. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and not every preacher is like this. You know, some evangelicals are going to preach more from the scriptures, and their sermons are going to grow out of the text. But it seems like in general, the big box churches and the popular ones are going to be doing this. They're going to be preaching ideas about the Christian life, and they're going to be going to find stories and illustrations and even Bible passages to serve the idea of the text. And that's the opposite, the way that the preaching should go. The preaching should serve the text, not the text serve the preaching. That's the way that the Lord has established it in his church. And this really fundamentally comes down to a totally different understanding of the scriptures. For the evangelical, the scriptures are information that become useful and powerful when we react to them, when we accept them, when we follow them. The Bible will sometimes be called the basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's an instruction book that needs to be followed. That's what's going on there. Rather than understanding the scriptures to be efficacious, to be God, the means that the Holy Spirit uses to create and sustain repentance and faith. So the preacher has to come in and add his own thinking, his own personality, his own illustrations to make the scriptures effective.
You said that evangelical preaching often focuses on the Christian rather than the Christ, as I say. And I'm wondering, is this an example of it, kind of broadly describing the approach? That when a preacher opens the Bible and begins to examine a text, either in preparation for his sermon or on the fly while he's preaching, he's looking for his audience in the text rather than looking for Jesus in the text.
I think so. And so that comes back to a question of hermeneutics. And what do you expect? You know, when you open the Bible, what do you expect to find? I think we're living, and this is a bit bigger question, a bigger theological trend that we should pay attention to, is that most people, when they open the Bible, they are not looking for Jesus. This starts in the Old Testament. When people open the Old Testament, they're not looking for Christ there. They're looking for, who knows, Moses, I suppose, or themselves, you know. They're the hero of their own story, and they're finding that to be true when they read these Old Testament narratives. And the same thing becomes true in the New Testament, so that Jesus is even reduced to an example. What would Jesus do? So now even in the acts of Jesus, in his miracles, in his teaching, I'm seeing myself there. And we read the Bible with ourselves as the main character of the thing. That is just it's blasphemous. It's an idolatrous reading of the scripture. And evangelical preaching a lot of times reflects that idolatry of self that is in the church today. And not just in the church. I mean, it's in the world. It's in everywhere we look. We're so narcissistic that we see ourselves reflected in everything. There's an ancient wisdom in the church that understands our conscience to be like a window. And this is a really nice picture because, you know, when a window is dirty, then everything outside looks dirty and everything inside looks dirty. When a window is clean, it doesn't make everything look clean, but it lets you see things like they are. I can see the things outside that are clean, they look clean, and the things outside that are dirty look dirty, and same thing with the things inside of myself. But the other thing that happens when a window gets dirty is that it reflects, it becomes like a mirror, a hazy mirror, and you see a reflection of yourself. So you imagine looking out of a dirty window and you see a little reflection of yourself all over the place. Well, this is how evangelicalism reads the Bible. It sees this hazy reflection of itself in all of these things, and that blocks what is truly there, namely Jesus, our Savior, who is dead and raised for us. And when we start to put ourselves always in every story as the hero of every text, then we're missing the great gifts that the Lord has to give to us in the scripture.
What is the impulse to entertain? I've often said that a lot of these big box preachers really missed their calling as stand-up comedians.
I don't know if they could make it a stand-up. It's hard to do stand-up, boy. So you can't make it on the stand-up circuit, so you end up becoming an evangelical preacher. There is part of that comes from the idea that the scriptures are not efficacious, or in other words, they're not powerful in and of themselves. They need help. So it is up to me as the preacher to enliven the text, to make it relevant, to make it matter, to make it work. The text is oftentimes treated like a dry and dusty sort of thing, and the preacher is the one who brings it to life for the people who are listening to them. Now, that, again, is a false doctrine of the scriptures. And when we see the evangelical preacher treating the text that way, as if it is a dead letter and they have to bring it alive, we see that much more is being confessed in that style than they would even admit to themselves. When the preacher comes up there in order to entertain you, he's saying the Bible is not enough. He's denying the power and the sufficiency of the biblical text. And that is, again, another blasphemous act of theology.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest. This is part 6 of our weekly series, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals. We're talking about preaching. When we come back, let's go back to that twofold goal, to improve life for the Christian and for the seeker or perhaps the unbeliever, a moment of decision. Stay tuned.
the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He joins us every week for our series, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals. Today, we're focusing on preaching. Brian, you said before that the twofold goal of evangelical preaching is for the Christian, an improved life, and then for the seeker, perhaps for the unbeliever, that moment of decision. Talk more about that.
Yeah, in fact, they're in some ways, they're the same. It all is about sincerity and my sincere dedication to Christ, the sincerity of my relationship with Jesus. And for the Christian, that sincerity looks like a more profound life of obedience. And for the non-Christian, that sincerity looks like handing my life over, the moment of decision, the altar call, and that whole thing that comes with decision theology. So because the focus is on the sincerity of relationship, it's gonna manifest itself in those two different ways. This is one of the worst characteristics of American Christianity, and that is that it assumes that the gospel, insofar as they have something like the gospel, the grace of God, it assumes that that is for the non-Christian and not for the Christian. And if you're a Christian, what you get in the sermon and what you get in the preaching is law, all law, instruction. This is how you ought to live. This is how you ought to pray. This is how you ought to think. This is what you ought to do. And it might be law light. It might be the doable, keepable law. It might be law heavy. You really got to be radical in your faith and do all this sort of stuff. It might be a kind of a social justice kind of leaning law in the liberal churches. It might be a conservative political activism in the conservative. But it's all law. The gospel gets you in, but your obedience keeps you there. And the preaching is every week, this is a tragedy, every week the Christians in the evangelical churches are being taught that what they need most of all is the law of God.
Now, I want to caution here, before we contrast that with preaching in the liturgical service of historic Christianity, and that is, in the best scenario, the law that they're preaching is from the Bible, it's not house rules or political correctness or something like that. In the best scenario, if they're actually preaching, say, in essence, the Ten Commandments, the preaching of the law in and of itself is not a bad thing. What's wrong with evangelical preaching is what you said there is a dearth of the gospel to respond to the law. It's not that preaching the Christian life is a bad thing. It's that it's not set in the context of the gospel. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's right, because we remember that the good work of the Christian in obedience to God's law are what St. John the Baptist identifies as the fruits of repentance. So if you want to have the fruit of repentance, you have to first have repentance. And this is the goal of biblical teaching, the thing that the preacher ought to be aiming at. This is what Jesus sends out the preacher to preach. Why they're preaching is to preach the law to show our sin and our great need for Christ, and to give the gospel, the great promise of the forgiveness of sins, which won for us by the death of Jesus on the cross. So the goal of biblical preaching is repentance and its fruits. Prayer, trust in God, and suffering, even the inner motions of the heart that begin to keep God's commandments of love and trust for God and love for the neighbor, self-service and sacrifice, faithfulness, chastity, peacefulness, patience, and all this sort of stuff as the fruit of repentance. But the evangelical church doesn't preach repentance. I mean, it doesn't even understand what repentance is. It mistakes repentance for the fruit of repentance, and preaches hardly anything about contrition and hardly anything about faith. It's great that we preach the Christian life. I mean, we must preach the Christian life and what the Christian life looks like in obedience to the Ten Commandments. But that is the fruit of repentance. And if we can't preach repentance, then the fruit will never come. It's like, you know, trying to have the fruit without the tree. It's like, you know, it's like going outside and seeing a pine tree and saying, hey, there's no apples on it, so I'm squeezing the trunk to try to squeeze apples out of the branches of the tree. I mean, it's just an exercise in absurdity for the tree as well as for the person squeezing the tree. Well, this is how most evangelicals are. They're squeezing the people, trying to squeeze out good works, not realizing that you can't get works without first having repentance, a knowledge of our sin, and especially a knowledge of Christ, who is the one who died to forgive our sins.
So is that why confessional Lutheran preaching here in this liturgical context is Christ-centered?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what else do we have, in fact, to talk about but Jesus? I mean, you Todd, I think, did really well to point this out to me, is that this kind of wild fact that you can listen to sermons and not hear Jesus. If Jesus never shows up in a sermon, if he never shows up in a worship service, then it can't be a Christian sermon. It's just a chin sermon with no Christ at all. And if it doesn't have Christ in there, it can't have the benefits of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I'm kind of incredulous about this because I don't have any idea what these preachers think that they have better to say than to talk about Jesus and what he's done for us by his death and resurrection.
Now, we talked before about kind of a preaching of almost always and only the law, because the presupposition was that the gospel's for unbelievers and not so much for Christians. Talk about the law and gospel dynamic in confessional Lutheran preaching.
This is how the Lutheran is taught to preach. Now, it can become cliche. It can be worn out. It can be placed over the scriptures and try to rule over them. That's all bad. But in general, the Lutheran preacher, the liturgical preacher, is taught to preach law and gospel. That is to ask, where in the text does God give us commands? And where in the text does God give us promises? And specifically, the promise of the forgiveness of sins won by the death of Jesus on the cross. And those are the things that the Lord wants to bring to his people. So there's an immediacy to liturgical preaching, that the sermon should start or can start saying, Jesus has this word for us this morning, so that Jesus himself is delivering his commands and his promises for the people. And the Holy Spirit is taking those words and using them in the hearts of the listeners to create contrition and faith, repentance, the comfort of the gospel, a terror over our own sins, and a complete confidence in the Lord who forgives our sins. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in liturgical preaching.
Does that mean, and I think what people often, you commented earlier, what people often experience when they walk into a Lutheran church and then they hear a Lutheran sermon for the first time, especially having come from evangelicalism, they're kind of struck at how, wow, it's kind of pithy, lots of Bible passages, very direct statements of both the law and the gospel. Pastor doesn't waste a lot of time talking about his kids or his grandkids or his marriage or any of those kinds of things. Is that why part of that contrast is just found there? It really gets far more to the point.
I hope so. And now, this is not to say that liturgical preaching doesn't teach. It does teach. It ought to teach. But the main thing is that liturgical preaching forgives sins. It's much less of a description and much more of a declaration. It sets people free. It absolves them. It says the things that Jesus says about the sinner to the sinner. Liturgical preaching is for you. I'm afraid that this is a little bit of a Lutheran cliche now, the idea of for you, but still it's helpful to meditate on. When Luther, for example, is talking about the Lord's Supper, he says the chief words here are the words for you. For the words for you require all hearts to believe, because the words for you mean that the things that are being spoken of are for the sinner. I remember one time that someone came into my office to show me. I must have been talking about some book, and someone, they'd bought the book and they were going to read it, and they brought it into my office to show me. And they were pretty proud of themselves for having the book, and I thought that they were giving the book to me. Now, this was a very awkward moment, because they showed me the book, and I said, "Oh, thank you. This is a wonderful gift. This is really great. I've been looking forward to reading this book." And they had to say, "Pastor, you can read it when I'm done with it if you want to borrow it. It's not for you." This is the thing. It is those words "for you" are the difference between description and declaration. And the liturgical preaching is saying, hey, this Jesus who died on the cross, it's for you. This blood that was spilled, it's for you. This empty grave, it's for you. This one who sits on the throne and rules and reigns, it's all for you. And it's a delivery of the great gifts of Christ. That's a huge difference between evangelical preaching and Lutheran preaching. Between the preaching that says that God's word is just pure information and the preaching that knows that God's word is his working in our hearts and consciences to create and sustain faith.
You wanted to talk about what people expect to hear from a sermon. Why expectations?
Yeah, it is a big thing when you go to church, what you're expecting to get there. So I remember that, you know, there's when you are an evangelical, you're being trained what to expect from the service. You're being trained to expect excitement, entertainment. You want to even be emotionally moved. You know, you want to be worked up. That's not just from the sermon, but from the whole service. You have this whole set of expectations. And a lot of time, in my experience, when people come to the Lutheran church, those expectations are not met. In fact, I remember the first time as an adult leaving the liturgy, and I thought, boy, I just didn't feel the Holy Spirit there at all. I mean, I had been taught to expect something from the preaching and the service that the liturgy did not deliver. And so a lot of times people will come to the Lutheran church, and they kind of have a kind of an empty or a shocked feeling after the service is over because their expectations weren't met. And I would like to consider what those expectations are. What are the right expectations that we ought to have when we go to church? Should we expect to be entertained? Should we expect to be moved? Should we expect to be humored? Should we expect connections? Or what should we expect? I think the godly expectation when we go to church and the godly expectation of a sermon is we expect to hear the word of God taught in its truth and purity, and we expect that our sins would be forgiven. That's the expectation that the Christian has when they go to listen to Christian preaching. And if that's the expectation that we have when we come to the liturgy and when we come to listen to the Lutheran preaching, we'll never leave disappointed. We'll always have that, the word of God and the forgiveness of sins.
You actually have a quote from the reformer Martin Luther, from his Large Catechism, about that particular expectation.
I've been thinking about the Large Catechism a lot lately. Everything, this is what Luther says. This is from he's talking about the Creed and the Holy Spirit and the Christian Church, and he says this: "Everything, therefore, in the Christian Church is ordered to the end that we shall daily obtain there, in the Christian Church, nothing but the forgiveness of sin through the word and signs, sacraments, to comfort and encourage our consciences as long as we live here. Thus, although we have sins, the grace of the Holy Ghost does not allow them to injure us because we are in the Christian church where there is nothing but continuous, uninterrupted forgiveness of sins, both in that God forgives us and that we bear with, help, and forgive one another. It's just beautiful. So that everything in the church is designed and shaped and ordered by God so that we receive in the church daily the pure, uninterrupted, continuous forgiveness of all of our sins won for us by the death of Jesus.
You mentioned the Large Catechism. What can you tell us about your latest project, Everyone's Luther?
I've got this idea that Luther, you know, Luther's the best. I mean, outside of the scripture, you can't do better than to read Luther. But for a long time, you know, it's been published in these great volumes and collections, which, you know, everyone should have, but that's designed for the professional theologian. So I've got the idea of taking some of Luther's writings and publishing them in little monograms. So we did this weekend with the Large Catechism. We took the text from the Concordia Triglotta, the public domain text of the Large Catechism, and put it in a little 4x6-inch book, published it on demand with Lulu for $5. You can download it for free. And so this is the first of what I hope will be a series of little books that'll help get Luther accessible, very accessible for the layperson. So all this great theology, you know, we can read for ourselves.
You can find out more about Everyone's Luther at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed? Brian, thanks for being our guest.
You got it.
Folks, we talk about the expansive topics that we cover daily here on Issues, etc. That's one of the strengths of this worldwide outreach. Here's a great example just from today's lineup. We started out talking with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on God forgiving David. Pastor Hans Feeney joined us to talk about sports as idolatry. We talked about the alleged evidence of Hebrew as the oldest alphabet with Dr. Andrew Steinman, living with toddlers with Anna Mussman, and our liturgical boot camp for evangelicals with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Now, if you appreciate the breadth of issues that we cover, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also make a financial gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Issues, etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. With 6 weeks left in 2016, we're about $120,000 short of expenses. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss first-century Bishop Clement of Rome with Dr. Joel Olowski, Christ in the Old Testament. We'll talk with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we'll discuss Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread with Pastor Peter Bender. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.